this month, one this week, May 4th, this Thursday, 10 o'clock, here at West Jefferson at the gazebo. Okay, you got that one? Second one won't be later on. It'll be Sunday, the 21st, here at this church. It'll be a celebration of our 20th anniversary. And we'll be glad to have you all there. Now I'm going to give a moment to, we've got somebody's going to mention the missions. And then after that, the pastor will be speaking on likewise and stuff. Likewise a second.
Okay, great. Thank you, Russ. Well, it's May, and during May, we'll be collecting funds for Pregnancy Decision Center. That's an organization that helps women as they're going through their pregnancy. They do that through volunteers, through counselors who meet with them, and also through ultrasounds. And this, with the goal of having babies born rather than being aborted. So we spend that time collecting coins or any kind of money to give to that organization. So throughout the month of May, if you'd like to do that, if the Lord puts that on your heart, there will be a place out at the Welcome Center desk where you can drop off any funds that you'd like to voluntarily give to that organization. And we ask you to continue to pray for our missionaries around the world, and they ask that you pray for their strength and health as they minister to others. Thank you.
We have a lot of different technical difficulties going on, so just ignore the person behind the curtain. We have a person here that's a saint. I guess we've been calling this person a saint, and I named him Saint Bernard. So if you see these shirts, Saint Bernard Club, that's what this is for, the Saint Bernard Club for Al. Now on a serious note, you've heard about LifeWise and the school board and all those things that are happening with the school board, that it's basically in their policy, it's in the state policy to have religious release time for education, and they're not doing that. So there's paper out there, looks like this, and it says contact your board, school board. So on the back of it has all their email addresses. There's a little sample on here of what you can write, or you can write your own thing. We had 5 people do it so far. Went as many people as possible to email them and say, we want this policy to be in place. It's in your board policy, you've already approved it. Just let it go through, because right now they're stalling and not letting it happen. We've met with them, I think, 3 different times and presented at the board meeting and everything else. There's another board meeting coming up. It's either the 8th or the 9th. I can't remember which one of those dates. But if you can just show up, you don't have to say anything. Just be there. So we're trying to get as many numbers as we can to be there to say we want this in our community. And also you can go online and sign up on the interest list just saying, I want this to be in the community. We started out with, we had to have at least 50. We had 75, then it was 150, now it's 234. So we're trying to get 500, if we can, people in the community saying that we want this in our schools for our kids. Every school that's had it has had benefit from it and helping the kids with their behavior and all that kind of stuff for them. So these are out on the table. If you need one, grab one of these. You can email one or you can email all of them at one time. So people have done different things. And then just let me know that you sent it. So just copy me in the thing, blind copy BCC, if you don't know what that means. It means they can't see it, but we can. Just so I know that you sent it. So if you get a chance to do that, get as many as we can. I think it's important for us to let them know it's in your policy, so follow your policy. That's what we're trying to do. So
what happens when you take your horn to the cleaners? We'll play that in a minute. But isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Let's stand up and sing, shall we?
of faith, rise up and sing of a great and glorious King. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, women of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts. Who can know the healing power of our awesome King of love? Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Won't you shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We've been through fire, we've been through rain, we've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with you. You've burned the truth on our lips. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We will shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. We will rise up, church, with broken wings, with this place with songs again of our God.
Let's read together, shall we? Revelation 4. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Thank you. You may be seated.
We are a moment, you are forever. We are a vapor, you are eternal. Love everlasting, reigning on high. Broken, you are the healer, Jesus, Redeemer, mighty to save. You are the love song we'll sing forever, bowing before you, blessing your name. Oh,
we just had to let Dave know that the sound system does have master control over everything. Now we're trying to get stuff. We got people filling in, so, which is me. And I haven't ran that for a long time, so, you know, try to be precise. Just don't expect perfection.
No.
You know, you're not going to be perfect till you get to heaven, so just get used to it. You have any praises this morning, what God's been doing this week?
I just want to say that we had an answer to prayer this week that Roger's blood clot is gone, and he's to have his surgery tomorrow morning at 8:20.
We've been blessed with another little McAvoy, little girl, Eleanor Rose is her name. She weighed 6 pounds and 13 ounces. So we're having babies right and left in our place.
I'm glad you said grandchild, because I thought, man, you and Bob are almost Sarah and Abraham's age here.
My friend Bob Hockenberry, some of you know Barb because she does all the women's stuff with us. Well, her husband is Bob, and he has participated in Emmaus for years. Now he participates in Kairos, which is done in the prison system. He has dropped these off at my house. They're just like a chain that you make when kids are counting down to things. These are the items that the folks in prison receive during their event. If you can write something on this, you don't need to fold it. You don't need to, and you're not allowed to put your full name. You can only put your first name. Don't put a last name, please. They will take this and they build chains for each person who, it's a men for this one, each person who's participating in Kairos. So I have them up here just that you're praying for them. God loves them, your favorite scripture. It can be something easy. If you can do that today and pray for them, which is the weekend after Mother's Day.
I've been just told that I'm going to be great grandma.
My sister Laurie and her husband Jeff, we support them as missionaries to a place in Asia. And right at the beginning of COVID, they happened to be coming here to the U.S. So they've been out of that country for a couple years. They got back in the past year, but they couldn't go back to the Shah people, which is who they wanted to minister to and who they'd built relationships with. So they just both got to go back there this week. I got a picture. They're smiling. They're really happy. So the Shah people is who they're trying to reach. They don't have their own Bible or anything. They're an unreached people group. So. And I also have a prayer. My sister-in-law, Tammy, found out she has uterine cancer this week, and her mother, who lives with her, already had cancer on her scalp. So they're going through quite a lot. One of my nieces lives with them, but they both need prayer.
David shared with the choir, but I wanted to pass it on to the whole church, that his oldest sister, Kathy, they have determined that she has stage 3 colon cancer. And she will be going through chemotherapy in the coming months. She is a pastor's wife. Her husband actually is retired, but he's still preaching. But he also has some health issues. So there's just a lot of things concerning with the whole situation with her getting the care that she needs to recover properly. So if you would just pray for their family, pray for Kathy specifically, that the Lord will just heal her body through this chemotherapy.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thanks for bringing us here this morning, Lord, to this house to worship you and to praise you and to honor you. You've heard these requests, Lord, for operations and healing and cancer and things that are happening. Lord, we praise you, Lord, for grandchildren and children and families and all those that are being born and raised up, and we just pray for them to be raised up in you. Lord, we pray be with those who can't be with us this morning, whether it's work or other events or sickness, whatever it may be. You let them know that we're praying for them and we care for them, and they're important to you and they're important to us. Father, guide and direct us this morning, Lord, as we look to your word, for what you have to say for us, Lord, and just be with the requests maybe they weren't mentioned this morning. And you know the names, you know the reasons, you know the people, you know the circumstances, and we know that you have the answer. We just give you the praise and thank you for who you are, for what you've done, for what you're going to do in these situations. We ask for protection. We ask for prayer for this country, Lord, that you'll bring prayer back in the schools and you back in people's lives. And we just pray for LifeWise to be able to be put in West Jeff. And I pray for the board members, Lord, to hear your voice and for you to go ahead and work even before this meeting takes place. We just give you the praise for all those who are here in your name. Amen.
I just want you to know how much I appreciate Pastor Bob. I'm working for him, and I've been in the ministry most of my life. And I work for a lot of preachers, and a lot of them I don't like, but a lot of them I do. And it's Pastor Bob's been a real joy to work with. He told me I need to learn how to run that machine, and I said no, I'm not going to do that. But I think he's going to make me now. It is well with my soul.
When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well.
See, that's, we're supposed to be laughing this morning. That's what it's all about. We planned all this stuff, you know. We're usually very organized. We just plan to be disorganized this morning. Right, Heather?
Right.
Yeah. We got here this morning. The computer was on two different screens. Because somebody had changed something. So we're trying to figure out how to get the screens back in order. And it was on this screen and that screen. And you saw all kinds of stuff popping up. We're like, we are confused. So we're trying to get that fixed. And then Dave wants the music faded out, but it's too loud to fade out. So that's why I just cut him off, because I couldn't fade it. But you know, it all worked out for good, didn't it? Worked out for good. How many of you think God wants us to laugh?
Amen.
Most people. The rest of you need to learn how to laugh, I guess, then. But do you ever think about that? That he enjoys seeing us happy and celebrating? I think he delights in seeing us laughing. We're his creation. We can laugh with each other. We laugh at each other. We laugh at all kinds of things. Sometimes you hear a joke or see something funny. But we're special, aren't we? We're his creation, and we're the only ones that can laugh. I know they say animals, you know, can laugh, but I don't believe that. It's a reaction or a noise or whatever it is. You know, you think, oh, my dog smiled at me today. Oh, he didn't. He probably was kind of growling because he wanted something you thought was a smile. And but they don't really laugh. They don't have a sense of humor. But people do. Heather, you're on your own camp. Would you just run the slides this morning? So the question is, why do we laugh? You think about all different kinds of things that we could think about us laughing. Sometimes it serves as a social function, a connection when people laugh. You know, I kind of feel like good as a group, people start laughing, or you hear somebody laugh, and then you start laughing, you're like, why am I laughing? Because they're laughing. So you have those kind of things going on. A lady named Sabrina Steiwalt. She said, we're 30 times more likely to laugh in a group than by ourselves. She said, young children between the ages of 2.5 and 4 were found to be 8 times more likely to laugh at a cartoon when they watched it with another child. So when somebody laughs, you hear them laughing, yeah, that's pretty funny, right? It makes you laugh with them. They studied 24 different societies and had 966 participants. Scientists played a soundbite of people laughing. So some of these people laughing were friends, and some were strangers. And they said, just by the voice, how they were laughing, they could tell if these were friends or just people that they didn't really know. So when you laugh with somebody, that's a funny joke, right? You can tell if they're really laughing at it or if they're just faking like they're laughing at something. So they could tell just by the way they were laughing if they were friends or not. According to the Mayo Clinic, there's a multitude of benefits to laughing. We talked about last week about singing, right? How singing can help you in all kinds of ways. It can increase your oxygen intake, stimulate your heart and lungs, and your muscles. It also releases endorphins, which means it makes you feel good when you're singing about a song, especially a happy song. It makes you feel good. It can also increase and then decrease your heart rate, which is good for your heart to go up and down at different times, increase and decrease. It can also make you calm, relieve tension, boost your immune system, and release stress. And reduce illness. So a lot of times you see these kids in the hospital, they'll take dogs in there and clowns and all kinds of stuff for the kids to get them to laugh, kind of get their mind off of their sickness, and it helps them to heal, I think, as well, when you're not just down and depressed and sitting there by yourself. So it promotes a healthy body. And I think there's no better excuse to get together with your family and friends and say, let's just have fun, let's just laugh, let's just goof around and do some things. We've done all kinds of goofy, funny things. I remember things we did in college and all those kind of things, you know, where you do things with shaving cream, you know, that kind of stuff, you know. We were at a pastor's camp one weekend, and there was a guy who just kept, we were supposed to be sleeping, and he came out and kept screaming at our door, knocking at our door. I'm like, oh, I can't take it anymore. So we had been out somewhere, and we had a big glass. Well, ice was all melted, and he did it one more time. I just opened the door. I said, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and I threw the water in his face, and then I shut the door. And the amazing thing was, he never came back. So that was one, that was just like an impromptu baptism. And obviously whatever spirit was bad was in him, it left, because he didn't come back and do that anymore. But this morning, I'll take a few minutes to laugh together. I have some clips, and this video clip is from a church. And what it is, it's the dad sitting across from another dad, and they try to tell a dad joke and get the other one to laugh. So they take turns, it's only a couple minutes long, and some are really hilarious, I thought, and some are kind of not as hilarious. Typical dad joke. So Heather, I think it'll play on there.
Wave,
And you'll have to just tell the jokes yourself.
How can you tell a vampire has a cold?
I don't know.
He starts coughing.
Nothing. Oh. Want to hear a joke about construction?
Sure.
I'm still working on it.
Why did the police officer arrest the duck? It was selling quack.
Did you hear that they outlawed the round bales of hay for farmers? The cows weren't getting a good square meal.
Nope. Try me again.
My fiance said, stop acting like a flamingo. I manned up and put my foot down.
Your whole face is shaking.
You can go to the next one because they can keep going. I don't want to go too many of them.
Is Sweden so good at...
Let's go past this.
How can you tell a vampire has a cold?
That's not...
He starts
coughing. Next slide. There you go. That's the next slide. Okay. So sometimes you laugh at others. Sometimes you try to make each other laugh. There's one, if you want to watch a funny one, I thought was hilarious, but I didn't show it this morning. It's these guys, they have a kazoo. You know what a kazoo is? They stand in line. They have one pant leg rolled up, and they have a rubber band on the back of their leg. And if you snap the rubber band, if the guy makes a noise with the kazoo, you snap it again. If he doesn't make a noise, he goes back to the end of the line. But you hear him laughing with the kazoo. It's hilarious. I thought it was hilarious. I don't know if you thought it was hilarious. My wife maybe not laugh, but I thought it was hilarious. So a lot of things on there you can laugh at. But what kind of church do you think the people want to attend? Everybody comes out somber, like, ugh. Or if they come out happy and joyous, that's what we want to hopefully have. And I think God wants us to be that way as well, to smile and have the joy in the Lord. Dr. Paul Rees tells a story of a Christian couple traveling to St. Louis who left their hotel on Sunday morning looking for a place to worship. They asked the policeman for directions to the nearest Protestant church. He gave them the information. They asked why he recommended that particular church out of several possibilities, and the policeman smiled and replied, well, I'm not a church man myself, but the people who come out of that church are the happiest looking people in St. Louis, and I thought that would be the kind of church that you want to attend. Isn't that a good recommendation? People come out of that church and they're happy. Doesn't matter what the message, you can be happy whatever the message is, right? Whether it's a convicting message, you can still be happy like that. I'm glad I heard that this morning. That really brought me to where I need to be with the Lord. Maybe I need to change some things. But laughter and smiling makes a statement about God and how we worship, and it's a powerful witness to those around us. If you're a Christian, you're always somber and sad. They're like, why do I want to be like you? Right? But if you have the joy of the Lord, that's what they want to have. So sometimes you laugh when we're embarrassed or when we don't believe something. Anybody ever laugh when you're embarrassed about something? You're like, why did I laugh at that? That was embarrassing. Just kind of a reaction that we have. In Genesis chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre. While they were sitting at the entrance to his tent, in the heat of the day, Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. And he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under the tree. Let me get you something to eat so that you can be refreshed and then go on your way. Now that you have come to your servant. Very well, they answered. Do as you say. So Abraham hurried to the tent to Sarah. Quick, he said, get three seahs of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. And then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set it before them. And while they ate, he stood near them under a tree. Where's your wife Sarah? They asked. There in the tent. And one of them said, I will surely return to you in about a year, and your wife Sarah will have a son. Sarah was listening to the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing, so Sarah laughed to herself. She thought, I'm worn out, and my Lord is old, and now I will have this pleasure. And then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'll return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. So think about that situation. It's a familiar story to most. They meet three people who they believe must be angels, messengers from the Lord. He says, you know, come rest a while, wash your feet, sit under the shade, we'll get you some food. And the interesting thing to me was, he knew Sarah's name. Didn't say they'd been there before. So you're like, that's interesting. My wife's Sarah. So he knew that Sarah was there. And while they're telling about her having a child, she knows she's way past childbearing years. And so she laughs. Why'd she laugh? Well, it says she was scared. But I think maybe she was kind of in disbelief, thinking, right, this is going to happen. This is impossible. I can't have a child. She probably thought, this plan's not going to work. And she denied it, probably because she's embarrassed. You ever deny something because you're embarrassed? I didn't do that. That wasn't me. It was somebody else. Couldn't have been me. I didn't do it. So I'm sure that's how she felt. But I'm sure the Lord doesn't want us just to laugh at things that seem impossible. But he wants us to laugh because we're happy and we're joyful and we have a good time. So if you look in Genesis chapter 1, we pick up the story later on, starting in verse 1. It says, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. She became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore. And when the son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse a child? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. So just like the messenger said, Sarah became pregnant and bore a son. And he blessed her even though she doubted it. So sometimes we doubt God, don't we? Doesn't mean he doesn't still bless us. Sometimes he blesses us even if we doubt. He says, I'm still going to bless you anyway. Amen. And he was gracious and true to his word. Now look at this part. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears this will laugh with me. So she laughed because God did the impossible, didn't she? Didn't he? Something she always wanted. She always wanted to have a child, but it never happened. And he's like, you waited till now to give us kids? He's 100 years old, and I'm in my 90s, whatever she was, and they're having kids. And the thing that I like about this, it says he brought her laughter. It didn't say she laughed. I think there's a difference in the two. If he brings you laughter, that means you're laughing more than once. If it said she laughed, it means she just laughed one time. And I think she had laughter because she had joy of seeing her son. And every time she looked at him, she probably laughed like, I'm 90 and you're my kid. Those kind of things. And I'm sure her and her husband told funny stories and watched Isaac do all kinds of funny things. And every time that he did something, they just laughed, thinking God is so good to us in our old age. And it's a wonder they named him Isaac, because that means laughter. We have a son named Isaac. He's not here, so I can talk about him. And he did a camp with the YMCA. You know what his nickname was? Mr. Smiley. Because he's always smiling and laughing. That's just the kind of temperament that he has, Mr. Smiley. But I think it's nice in here, too. It says her friends laughed with me. They didn't laugh at her. They laughed with her. She was laughing. They're laughing. This is so amazing. They're all laughing about it. Sometimes people laugh at us, right? Which is not fun. Unless you're doing a joke or doing something, then you can have them laugh at you. But you want to laugh with you because you all think it's funny, not because you're putting somebody down. A lot of times today, people laugh at people. Call them names and degrade them and things like that and all that kind of stuff that they do. But it's a lot more fun if they laugh with you. And that's kind of a contagious laughter where everybody starts laughing, and it's a funny thing that happens. So some of the following I'm going to share is adapted from Glenn Peace, which is a guy I was reading about this week. You know, in times past, many godly Christians were trained to avoid smiling or signs of enjoyment in the house of God. And if your kids laughed, you were in trouble. You don't laugh in church. You don't do that. Anybody ever hear that when they were growing up? You don't laugh at those things. You just be quiet. Sit here. Can't make any noise. Can't do anything. Well, I'm sure the devil enjoyed his success in blinding those Christians, because a lot of our songs are about joy and what's happening in the Lord. And we can't just be there somber when we're trying to sing those songs. We must be enjoying them. Because as we enjoy our kids laughing and having fun, I think God enjoys seeing us laugh and have fun, have a good time. I was going to share a video this morning, but I didn't share it because I wasn't sure. Mark Lowry, you know Mark Lowry? You may or may not have thought it was funny, I don't know, but he's got some different videos on there that I was looking at. My daughter's like, why do you keep watching that, Dad? I watched like 8 times, like, it's hilarious. I kept watching, I thought, should I show it? I'll let you guys look at it yourself if you want to. It's with Bill Gaither, he's singing with Bill Gaither. And they're singing, what is it? Something about asking Jesus, call him up and tell him what you want. And Mark Lowry is, and Bill Gaither is always has his eyes closed like this singing. And Mark Lowry looks over at him like this and goes. He starts singing the same thing Bill is. And the guys on the end are cracking up trying to keep singing. But if you want to see that, something really funny, I thought it was hilarious, but I didn't want to take the time to show it this morning necessarily. But Mark Lowry is really funny. He talks about his ADD. And he always tried to make something positive of that. His mom would tell him that was a gift from God that he gave you. And a lot of times he says, I like to tell people stories and make them laugh. He says, well, I can get people to know the Lord through my stories and my funny comments. He said, a lot of times people don't want to hear about it. But he said, you know, if you can make it a funny story and people listen to what you're saying, he said, then you can get the message across about how good God is. And I thought that was kind of a neat way to look at that, so. So, Pam, there's hope for you. Did you get that, Pam? Inside joke, people. But there's nothing cuter than when you see a little child laugh, is there? When a little baby giggles or laughs. Amen. And you're like, that is so hilarious. And they can just crack about nothing. There's all kinds of things on the internet about little babies laughing, too. And sometimes for no reason, sometimes you clap or make a noise or do whatever and they just start cracking up and then you start laughing because they're laughing. It's just an amazing thing. So I think God sees us like that. He wants to see his kids just laugh and it makes him happy that we're enjoying things. I think God feels the same way. In Job 8:21, Bildad says, he will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with shouts of joy. You know, Job had a tragedy, but God was still going to do something to bring back his joy. Sometimes we have things happen in our lives where it's kind of a detrimental thing, and we lose that joy. And God can bring that back to us. Ecclesiastes 10:19 says, a feast is made of laughter. You can't have a feast without a lot of food and people and laughter. So when you're together, I don't know if you get together with your kids or family or whatever. We had our kids over last night. We had a lot of fun playing games and laughing and joking around, doing all kinds of stuff. And we had food, so it was a feast. But anytime you have any kind of a meal together with people, you get a chance to talk and laugh and share and do all kinds of things. But it makes you feel good and you can give good news. So we don't just laugh when we get tickled. Sometimes you get laughed because somebody says something or does something or you think of something. Have you ever been sitting somewhere and you start laughing and people are like, what is wrong with you? And you were thinking of something else that happened or something that was going to happen, those kind of things. Well, God likes to do clever things, I think, a lot of times. And what happens when your favorite team wins a game? You're shouting and jumping for joy, right? Screaming. Doesn't ever happen in church, but it happens at the football television, doesn't it, a lot of times. But I think he loves us to laugh and have fun. And it leads to extraordinary things. In the Orthodox Church, the tradition is after Easter, you get together and tell stories and funny things because you're laughing at Satan because Satan thought he was going to win the victory, but God actually had the last laugh in the end. So they're telling stories and funny things to show that Satan thought he tricked the Lord, but the Lord actually tricked him into thinking that he was winning when he didn't really win. But it's hard for people to believe that they can be set free from sin and guilt by trusting in Christ and believing his death paid the price on the cross. But sometimes we say, well, what's the joke? The joke is Satan thinks that we're going to listen to him all the time. He thinks we're going to believe his lies, that God can't forgive whatever you've done, that he can't redeem you, he can't make you whole, he can't make you a new person. But Jesus knows the truth, doesn't he? He knows the answer. The Bible's full of places where people have mocked Christians mock the Lord. They're skeptical. A lot of times you don't hear the other side. Martin Luther said the gospel is nothing else than laughter and joy. Gospel is laughter and joy. You know why? Because we know the end. That's why it's laughter, because like you can be smirking like, I know how this is going to end. I know who wins. And the people are there thinking they know what's going to happen. They, you know, they're in control, but they're not in control. There's two kinds of people in the world, those who laugh with God. What do you think the other ones are? Those who laugh at God. But why would you laugh at a God who controls the universe and try to fight against him? You can't win. You can't win against God. It's like Jeff trying to fight a two-year-old. You're like, you don't have a chance. I'm bigger, stronger, I outweigh you, I'm smarter than you are, you can't win. But yet we think sometimes as people that we're bigger, smarter, and stronger than God, and we know best. And we really need just to conform to what he wants us to do. We can laugh at those who hurt us because of our faith in Christ, because every time they inflict pain on us, it puts a deposit in our eternal bank account. God says, yep, I saw that one. You handled that right. That's what you should have done. That's good. And even though it hurts, it makes us miserable, we know that we're rich in the Lord, that he's with us. We're not alone. Peter, in his sermon at Pentecost, quotes the Old Testament, which describes the death of Christ, the Messiah. Sometimes we miss what he says, but he knew the victory in God's resurrection, and he knew the pain would be temporary. But Jesus actually did what he said he would do, didn't he? He came, he lived, he died, he paid the price for us on the cross, and he rose again. So when evil threw its worst at him, inwardly, there was a joy because he knew how it ended. So if you're going through a hard time, but you know what the end is, it makes it easier, doesn't it? If you have to do something that's not easy, but you know what the result's going to be at the end, that's going to be worth it, then you can have joy. And what do I think of? Having a child. I thank the Lord every day I'm not a woman. But the pain you go through in childbirth for the joy at the end. To have that baby. You go through that pain knowing what's at the end. So you can have joy in childbirth, not that you're enjoying it, but the joy that awaits you of that baby at the end. That can be adoption too. That's not to be natural birth. That can be adopting a child. All the paperwork, all the stuff you have to go through for the joy at the end to have that child. Sometimes you don't even have to adopt them officially, but you adopt kids that are just maybe friends or whatever, and they become kind of like your children, you become their parents or grandparents or whatever. For the joy set before you, you get a chance to have a part in that child's life and see what they're going to be. So you can look at the cross and laugh with God, because the cross is a guarantee that our tears are going to be wiped away. There's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more struggling. So when you see the cross is empty, you can smile and laugh and say, yeah, he's not there. He's been raised. He saved me. We know the cross was a scene of eternal joy that enabled Jesus to endure it because of the joy set before him. So as you're going through life and things happen that are tough, just think of the joy set before you. How does this end? What we're going through now is a temporary thing. All the stuff that's happening, all these crazy things happen in society. One day they're going to be done. And God's going to come back and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Or he's going to say, I never knew you. Right? We need to be a good witness for those that are around. And laughter can be a manifestation of praise, that we're praising God as we laugh. So God wants to enjoy life, to laugh at the funny things, jokes, and times with family. When trials come, we can have joy. I like the scene in Mary Poppins. Remember that show, Mary Poppins? I love to laugh. What happens when they start laughing? Do you remember? They start floating up to the ceiling. They're all laughing around, and she tries to get them back down, and the kids start cracking up, and they all end up floating and bring the table up and start eating around it because they're just laughing. And it says they laugh long and loud and free. I mean, they're just going to laugh. They don't care. It's hilarious. They're going to laugh, and they don't care who hears it. And the good thing is, it's not like using vulgar language, right? You laugh, and you want people to hear you laughing. You want them to join in. You want them to be happy. And that's what I think he wants us to do today. To laugh long and loud and free, and be joyful of our salvation that he gave us. Jim Hagerman always says, go praising God, doesn't he? That's how we should be going, praising God. So let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the gift of laughter, that we can laugh. We can choose to have humor. We can do funny things and tell stories and enjoy people and all those kinds of things that other creation can't do. And you've designed us, Lord, to be like you. So help us, Lord, to have joy and laughter in good times and in bad times, whatever it may be, that we can spread the joy of the Lord to others that are around us. We just praise you and thank you for giving us laughter in your name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this morning, shall we? Thank you, Pastor.
I give all my service to you. I give all my service to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my service to you. I give all my future to you. I give all my future to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my future to you. I give all my worship to you. I give all my worship.
Make sure you go out this week and worship as you walk where the Lord takes you. Amen. Thank you.